All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So it's a great source to be able to continue, Baruch Hashem, with all of you. It would be even more wonderful if we're able to learn in person, but at least, Baruch Hashem, we have this technology that allows us to continue together a little bit. So I apologize for the technical issues last week. Hopefully, you were able to go ahead and listen to the shiur. And we spoke about the Naros, the rivers. So continuing a little bit more, I want to spend one more week on the rivers. So just to reorient ourselves a bit. So if you remember again, our number one on your sheet, also, I don't know if it went out, but I sent Mrs. Glazer an updated source sheet. So maybe you'll even receive it sometime over the course of this year. It's not a big deal if you don't. It's only one additional Marim Makom, one additional source that I added in. But just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So if you remember, again, we were speaking about the rivers, Naros. So Naharos Omrim, the rivers say, Naharos Yimcha Uchaf Yachad Harim Yiraneinu. So the rivers say, the rivers will clap hands, mountains will exult together. So we were speaking about this concept that the rivers seem to be in an incredible state of simcha, an incredible state of happiness and joy. And so the question becomes, what's the nature of the simcha of the rivers? What's the nature of this joy? So we saw a number of different opinions. Last week's shiur, we focused primarily on the concept of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was talking about the idea that true simcha in life. So remember, I'm sorry, one more piece. The Medrash highlights this idea that when does nature rejoice? Nature rejoices when we rejoice, when we are in a state of simcha. So then ultimately, again, nature itself feels simcha. When Klal Yisrael is happy, when Klal Yisrael experiences joy, nature feels joy. So Rabbi Nachman, we then kind of refocused a little bit. So how do we find simcha in life? So we saw the position of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman's incredible idea of mitzvah gedola lios besimcha tamid. And really Rabbi Nachman's concept that when do you find joy? You find joy when you find goodness inside of yourself. When you find tov inside of you, when you find meaning inside of you, that's ultimately, again, when you achieve some level of simcha in life. So I wanna go forward a little bit. So, you know, it's interesting that sometimes the ability to discern between simcha and holulus is a little bit difficult. So for example, so simcha means joy, holulus means levity. So sometimes externally, these things could look very similar. These things could look as if they are the same thing, but only when you delve a little bit deeper do you begin to see this. I'll give you a simple example. A simple example is, let's say you see someone going ahead at a chasana and dancing. And they're dancing mamish with all of their hearts, all of their soul. Incredible. So is that simcha? It could be. Meaning, if they're there to go ahead and give joy to the chasen and kala, if they're there to mamish because they're feeling the mitzvah of kol ha-mesameach chasen ve-kala, zocha le-chamisha kolos, that's simcha. On the other hand, to put it bluntly, maybe they had a little too much to drink. Right? Maybe they overindulged at the bar. And so the dancing that they're engaging in is not really simcha. I wouldn't necessarily call that joy, or at least simcha of kiddusha. That's much more holulus. That's much more levity. So the distinction, or what in life is real simcha, is sometimes exceptionally nuanced. I want to share with you something amazing. That sometimes people think that simcha is achieved when you run away from life. A lot of times you see this, that people think that to achieve a level of simcha, you have to engage in some type of escapism. Detach yourself a little bit from life, remove yourself from the realities of existence, and then in Eretz Hashem, that's when you find simcha. But the truth is, from a Judaic perspective, nothing could be further from the truth. That sometimes the real essence of simcha is not at all by escaping from life, but by engaging in life and appreciating the little things. I want to share with you a beautiful poem. There's a book that was compiled. It's titled Memo to Self, written by a woman in Eretz Yisrael, Sarah Rosenblatt. It could be that maybe some of you have come across her poetry in the past. I've been very to a small book that was published not so long ago. So just to give you a little bit of her background, Sarah Rosenblatt was originally from Washington, D.C., grew up as Rena Lewis, and became religious when she was studying at the University of Maryland. She graduated in 1967. She made Aliyah. She married a Breslover Chassid and lived in Mea Shearim. So she was an incredible writer and put together just like simple poetry. And her poems were, after she passed away, her poems were put together in a book called Memo to Self. So look at this poem that's on your sheet, number 7. The poem reads as follows. Thanks for this day. Thanks for this day in which nothing out of the ordinary happened at all. Shlomi couldn't find his sandal. Adi couldn't find her math book. My baby kissed me. I made hot dogs and french fries for lunch. The kids did homework, played a game of cutting and pasting, filled the floor with scraps. Some neighbors' kids were helping. They sang a silly song. Fagi made egg salad sandwiches and they went to the park. Meanwhile, I got some ironing done. A breeze blew in. The birds sang. The sky was blue. The clouds were white. And oh, I knew that nothing I could ever do or say or write would ever be enough to thank you for 1 second's sweetness of this ordinary day. So I've always been struck by this poem because what Mrs. Rosenblatt was really trying to highlight was this concept that true simcha could be achieved by embracing the simple beauty of everyday life. You see, the great challenge in life is that we think that simcha is a function of big things. That how do you achieve a level of simcha in life? Something dramatic has to occur. Something major has to occur. Some major life event or some major life accomplishment or something dramatic that you've been waiting for so long has finally come to actualization and then you feel besimcha. And I think the power of this poem is that real simcha comes through appreciating the things in everyday life. There are dramatic and beautiful things that happen all around us every day. There are chasadim, there are kindnesses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us every single day. There are miracles that occur. You know, we say every day in Modim. We say Modim Anachnu Lach, we thank Hashem. What do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Va'al Nisecha Shebechol Yomimanu. Thank you Hashem for the miracles that you perform for us each and every day. Aye, what miracles? What miracles? It's the miracles of everyday life. The things that for whatever the reason, sometimes we just fail to fully appreciate. We fail to fully comprehend. We fail to fully understand that they are truly miracles. That's where simcha comes in life. And I think that this is incredible, not just in Perek Shira. We'll tie back to the rivers in just a moment. But the ability to see the beautiful things in everyday life is such an important thing. Life is always filled with difficulties and challenges. Such is the nature of existence. Nature of existence, life is filled with difficulties and challenges. But a person who's able to see the beautiful things, despite all of the difficulties and challenges, that's where simcha comes from in life. That's what this poem, that's what Mrs. Rosenblatt was trying to highlight. Mrs. Rosenblatt was trying to highlight in life. Thanks for this day. She's describing an ordinary day of life. And in fact, I don't know, when I read this poem, maybe this is coming from a man's perspective. When I read this poem, this seems like an incredibly hectic day. A lot of stuff going on, kids going in all different kinds of places, household responsibilities. Does not seem like the kind of day that I would personally find relaxing or even be able to find simcha. And yet, the godless of this woman is that she's able to see the beauty in just everyday life. That's where simcha comes from. See, the great challenge is sometimes we link our life happiness to major life events. We spoke about this in last week's shir. If only I would have X. If only I would accomplish Y. If only I could reach this milestone. If only at the end of the day, you know, this would occur, that would occur, then I would be happy. Then I would be happy. And the truth is, that's not how happiness works. Because the moment that you go ahead and hinge your happiness on some event or something external is the very moment in which happiness becomes elusive. But if you're able to find simcha, in the day-to-day occurrences of life, then ultimately, again, a person leads a very simchadik life. And I think if we tie this back to Perek Shira, that's what's happening over here. If you look back at number one in your sheet, Naharos Omrim, Naros Yimchalkaf, why are the rivers clapping their hands? Why are the rivers clapping their hands? So on a simple level, it could just be Pashat Pshat, is that the rivers are clapping their hands because they're flowing. Because they're flowing. Because Baruch Hashem, life is good. There's beauty. Maybe the sun is out. And if the sun is out, fantastic. And if the sun's not out and it's raining, then the rivers are happy. Why? Because the rain contributes water to the rivers. So whatever the Metzius is, whatever the reality of the day is, there's something beautiful to be found. You see, when we look at this, we ask ourselves, why are the rivers happy? Why are the rivers clapping? And the truth is, you have to ask it differently. Why wouldn't the rivers be happy? In every day in life, there's something to be besimcha about. Every day in life, there is some reason to be joyous and to be joyful. Every day in life, there is something to celebrate. You just have to find that thing and focus on it. And maybe that's the message here. Naharos Omrim, Naharos Yimchal Kaf. The rivers clap their hands because the rivers, as being part of nature, are able to find something in each and every day to celebrate, in each and every day to find the joy. And the rivers teach us, if we, the rivers, could do this, then Allah has come to become a man who has intellect, who has das, who has bina, has to be able to find something to be joyous about as well. So far now we have two major approaches. So remember again, nature is joyful or joyous when we are joyous. How do we find our simcha in life? Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, lead a meaningful life. Find good inside of yourself. Know that your existence is purposeful and you will find simcha. Mrs. Sarah Rosenblatt, memo to self. Find joy in the everyday occurrences in life. In the breeze, in the birds chirping, in the sunrise or the sunset, in the rain or in this, whatever it is. Find something in your day that gives you joy, that gives you simcha. Find delight in the simple beauty of everyday life. Do not become a high-maintenance person who requires expensive things, major life events, or major accomplishments to find joy. Find the simcha in everyday life, and you will lead a life of simcha. And when you find simcha in everyday life, know that nature rejoices along with you in everyday life as well. I want to transition to one last approach, and I'm hoping that maybe the email came through from Mrs. Glazer with the updated source sheet. If not, I'll go ahead and just share it with you. Again, when you get the Maran Mokum, you'll be able to see it. This is a piece actually by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And it's actually from the Kutei Sichos on this week's Parsha. But I think that it very much captures the essence of this as well. Because the truth is, I personally find this topic very gripping because we all struggle with simcha. We all struggle with simcha. And we all struggle to figure out, number one, how do you find joy? And the truth is, even the more nuanced question is, what is real joy? Because there are some things that may make us feel happy, but as you pointed out before, maybe that's not simcha. Maybe that's hololos. Maybe that's frivolity. Maybe that's hollow joy, but not real simcha. Like Rabbi Nachman taught us last week, a person could present as being happy, but internally, I'm exceptionally broken. So we all struggle with this. You're a group of young women, so maybe hopefully you find joy a little bit easier. But as we get older in life, finding true joy and finding real simcha and being able to focus on is incredibly difficult. So we have Rabbi Nachman, we have Sarah Rosenblatt, and I want to share with you again the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So Lubavitcher Rebbe actually is from the sixth parasha. So remember again, the second we this week is Achrei Mos Kedoshim. So to focus you for just a moment on the second of the two parashas on Kedoshim. So the pasuk says, Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, be holy, for I am Hashem your God. For I am, or I should say, ki kadosh, because I, Hashem your God, am holy. So be holy, because I, Hashem, your God, am holy. But then the truth is, the psukim go on. I'll just read to you the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk, or I should say the following pasuk, reads as follows. Ish imo vaviv tiro, veshabso sai tishmor ani Hashem Elokeichem. Literally again, every man should fear his mother and father and keep my Shabbosos, for I am Hashem, your God. So Lubavitcher Rebbe is bothered by a number of things. Number one, the nature of the juxtaposition, right? Why does it have Ish imo va'aviv tiro veshabsosai tishmoru? Remember again, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an obligation. The obligation is to be Kaddosh. Why do you have to be Kaddosh? Why do you have to be holy? Because Hashem says, I am holy. If I'm holy, you're going to be holy. Okay. What's the connection then afterwards to going ahead and revering one's parents and Shabbos? What's the connection of all of these things? So the Rebbe kind of dissects this a little bit, and he does something absolutely amazing. So he says, first of all, what does it mean to be Kaddosh? Well, what does that mean? So I want to read to you the words of the Rebbe. Again, I hope you have it on the sheet. If not, Emir and Hashem, you'll see it on the Maram Akomus and you get through it, but I'm going to read through it regardless. So it says, B'tzivui kedoshim tiyu, doresh me'itanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lihibadl me'umo sa'olam. Remember, the notion of kedusha is precious, is separation. So kedoshim tiyu is perushim tiyu. Now again, remember, so the Mefarshim themselves all understand this concept that kedusha means separation. The shaila is separation from what? So yeah, for example, Rashi understanding perushim min harayas, immorality. The Ramban kadeshes atzmucha b'mashem mutralach, right? Sanctification through separating yourself from that which is permitted. But the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, but let's assume for just a moment that on a global level, kedoshim tiyu means to be separate and distinct from the nations of the world. We are to be separate from the goyim, from the nations, How do we accomplish that? How is it that we are supposed to be separate and distinct from the other nations? If you want to say that the way that we are separate from the nations, ultimately, again, is that through Torah and mitzvos, that can't be. Or as the Rebbe says, that can't be. Why can't that be? Because at the end of the day, the nations of the world have no sheiches to Torah. They have no sheiches to Torah. The Rebbe is asking a very nuanced question. He's assuming that kedoshim tiyu means that we must differentiate ourselves from the nations of the world. But in order for that differentiation to be meaningful, there must be something that we share in common with the nations. We share in common with them, but yet we do differently. If you want to say the differentiation is Torah mitzvos, that's not really a differentiation between us and the nations, because the nations of the world don't have that. They have no sheiches to Torah and mitzvos, no connection. So the Rebbe understands that kedoshim tiyu is a much more nuanced differentiation. Something that we share in common with the nations of the world, yet we do differently. So the Rebbe says, if you skip a little bit, so he says, Horazu shalatora amura bedivre harashos. Therefore the Rebbe says, you're right. Kedoshim tiyu, which means to separate yourself specifically from the nations of the world, is not a reference to Torah mitzvos, because Torah mitzvos is something, Baruch Hashem, that we have, that we're privileged to have, that the rest of the world does not. So rather, what does it refer to? Wherein lies the distinction between Am Yisrael and the nations of the world? Rather, again, in everyday living. Achila, shtia, mischa, eating, drinking, conducting business. B'tchumin eila lichora lo nira hevdal ben Yehudim lagayim. The truth is, if you think about it, there are things that we do that everyone does, right? Everyone eats and everyone drinks and everyone does business. So b'pashtos, right, the Jew and non-Jew look no different in those areas. Eila ve'eila ochlim v'shosim l'tzorech kiyum gufam u'misaskim be'inyanei parnasa b'shar tzarchi ha'olam. So at the end of the day, we eat, the nations eat. We drink, the nations drink. We do business, they do business. There doesn't seem to be a distinction. Says Rebbe, here's where Kedoshim Tiyu comes in. Afa pikein mitzava osanu ha'torah Kedoshim Tiyu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to be Kadosh. Aleichem lahashos kidusha gam be'inyonim eila. Laharos shegam bechayim hayom yomayim. Yesh yichud ba'am Yisrael. Zos al yidei asiyas hadvarim halalu l'sheshan. This is incredible. The Rebbe says, Kedoshim Tiyu is not manifest itself in Torah and mitzvos. Why? Because he understands Kedoshim Tiyu means to separate yourself, to make a difference between yourself and the nations of the world. But the Rebbe understands that the difference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding of us in Kedoshim Tiyu is a nuanced difference. It's not a glaring difference. That we have 630 mitzvahs and the nations of the world do not, that's obvious. That we have a system of morality that the nations of the world do not, that's obvious. That's not Kedoshim Tiyu. That's just the fundamental distinction between Jew and Gentile. So wherein lies the distinction between Am Yisrael and the nations of the world? That distinction ultimately, again, is the ability to take the things that we share in common with the nations of the world, but yet to infuse a dimension of holiness, even in those everyday mundane things. We eat, they eat. We drink, they drink. We do business, they do business. We establish families, they establish families. But how we do those processes are fundamentally different. The ability to infuse holiness even into the activities of daily living that we share in common with the rest of the humanity, of the community of mankind, that's where Kiddusha comes in. Kiddusha means to take the things that everyone else does also, but to infuse a dynamic of holiness into it, that's Kiddusha. That's holiness. Alash, he goes on, he says, Az izos al yide asiyas hadarm halalu l'shem shamayim va'al yide his kachos kabedrah mutarm. They just ask Ramash Botalach. Rebbe says something amazing. So where does Kiddushin to you? I eat and my Gentile neighbor eats. But the difference is when I eat, I make a bracha before and a bracha after and a bracha afterwards. So a Jew will procreate and a non-Jew, a Gentile will procreate. But ultimately, again, how we address and how we look at intimacy, again, infusion of Kiddusha. It's in the activities of daily living and the ability to infuse holiness into every single thing that we do. That's where Kiddusha comes up. It's an incredibly profound and just nuanced approach to Kedoshim Tiyu. Because often we assume that the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu means we are separate and distinct. And we have Torah, we have mitzvahs, we have all these different things. We have halacha, we have that. The nations of the world don't have that. That's how our Kedusha manifests itself. The Rebbe says, no, Kedoshim Tiyu is the ability to make nuanced differences in the things that we share in common with the community of mankind. The things that we do and they do. Yet, we're able to do it with infusing a dynamic of holiness in the way you eat, in the way you drink, in the way you conduct your daily life. That's Kedoshim Tiyu. Says the Rebbe, Ala she'ila ech efshar lios kedoshim gam b'shah shoskim b'inyanei ha'olam hazeh. Aye, so maybe you'll ask, but how do you do that? So how does one infuse holiness when one is engaged in the regular mundane world? Meshiva Torah behemshech ha'pasek. Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Yehudi b'chomakom shu kasher ma'kadosh baruch hu. Sha'alav at anu omrim ata kadosh. Mikdusha zu. Hu shoy v'esakoach lahashkin eshara eloki gam v'esachila. Hamischar v'shar isuki ha'olam hazeh. So the Bava Shev says something amazing. He says, what's the end of the pasuk? So kiddushin to you. So how does kiddushin to you mean according to the Bava Shev? It means the things that you do that are the same as the rest of the world. Infuse holiness into those things. How do you do that? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. by maintaining a constant and consistent relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, I am able to infuse holiness into everything that I do. Which, what the Rebbe is really driving at over here is the opening phrase of Shulchan Aruch, which also happens to be the opening phrase of Tanya, of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. When you create a sense of God awareness, that means that when you drink your coffee, you recognize that that coffee is from the Ribono Shel Olam. It means that when you go ahead and you go out to work and you earn your paycheck, that paycheck is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you go at whatever it is that you do, Shibisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present and a part of my day-to-day life and the activities of daily living, that means again, anything and everything that I do has an element of Kiddusha. So this is the first part, says the Rebbe. Kiddushim Tiyu means infuse a dynamic of holiness into every single thing that you do. Even the things, not even, especially the things that we do that are the same as the rest of the world. How do you do that? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Live life with a sense of God awareness. Live life with the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by your side in everything, and then you will see the godliness in everything. What about the next part of the pasuk? Ish imo va'aviv tiro. So what does that have to do with anything? Fear and revere your parents. So here the Rebbe says something amazing. Goes on. As says, kashos ha-yehudis, shemakifas kol chayv shal yehudi, yesh lahavir gam ledar haba. So what the Rebbe says, ish imo va'aviv tiro, is lav dafka reminding us about honoring our parents, but it's rooting us in the concept of community and family. That if you're able to cultivate within yourself this notion of kidoshin tiyu, of creating a dynamic of holiness, even in the everyday activities of daily living, and you're able to create a sense of God awareness, which informs or which infuses godliness into the everyday things that you do, don't keep that awareness for yourself. Don't keep that awareness for yourself. But rather, you have to go ahead and share that with others as well. Ish imo va'aviv tiro, the Rebbe wants to posit, is at the end of the day a reference to mishpacha, a reference to family. Take these values that you hold dear of kiddushin tiyu and pass them on. Give them to your parents if your parents don't have them. Give them to your children if your children don't yet have them. But remember again, parents and children are really just representative of the idea that whatever you acquire for yourself, share with your extended family. Who's your extended family? Not just the people who are directly related to you by blood, but your extended family represents, again, your chevra friends, your community. In other words, in the realm of ruchnius, in the realm of spirituality, and especially as we broaden our spiritual horizons, never keep your spirituality only for yourself, but rather always make sure that whatever you do acquire for yourself, you are able to share with the other. That's ish imo va'aviv tiro. What about the last part? Veshab sosai tishmoru. What does that refer to? See, he says, hatzivoy hashlishi ve'ez shab sosai tishmoru mashlim ho'ra'a zu shalatora hatzivoy ona ala she'ila minayin lo k'chemes ha'koach le'mesima gedola zu shalas kachus ishis v'ha'avaras ha'kedusha gam l'doros ha'boim. So now, again, it turns out that kedoshim tiyu is a pretty tall order. What does kedoshim tiyu actually mean? Infuse holiness into your activities of daily life. The things that you do that are the same as the nations of the world, but you infuse holiness into those very things. But lest you think that your personal acquisition of holiness is enough, ishimo va'aviv tiro, make sure to pass on your holiness to others as well. Share your holiness with others. How do you do this? Ve'eshab sosai tishmoru. Ve'eshab sosai tishmoru means, what is Shabbos? What is Shabbos? You see, there are many other cultures that believed in God as well. For example, one of the most profound theological disputes was between the Rambam and Aristotle. Right? Aristotle also believed in God, but Aristotle believed in a God who created and then left the world. God was the historical creator. Once he created the world, he created mechanisms of nature. Once he created mechanisms of nature, he checked out. That, of course, that is antithetical to the way we believe. How do we believe? We believe HaMechadish B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh B'reishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not simply the historical creator, but God is the present contemporary creator as well. And how do we reinforce that belief? That's reinforced through Shabbos. Right? The reason we have Shabbos week in and week out is to remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the perpetual creator. So look what the Rebbe says. He says, look at the last paragraph. He says, HaShabbos hi os bris beinenu abein Hashem v'maskira lanu tamid ki gam hateva nishlat bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos reminds us that even nature, what we call nature, is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bekocha shel HaShabbos lahashkines HaKedusha b'chol hebet shel chaya yom yom u'lahachdir hakara zu gam b'yaldeinu. Shabbos reminds us that ultimately, again, creation is an ongoing process. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ongoing creator, not just the historical creator, but is a present and contemporary creator as well. When I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a present creator, then, first of all, again, I'm able to see the godliness in everyday life, and I'm able to see the godliness, again, even in my activities of daily living. If I'm able to see the godliness in my activities of everyday living, then I am able to fulfill the dictum of Kidoshim Tiyu. Why? Ki Kadoshim Hashem Elokeichem. Because I see Hashem in my everyday life. If I see Hashem in my everyday life, then what? Ishimo Vaviv Tiro. I'm able to go ahead and pass that on to my children as well. But at the end of the day, how do I reinforce that belief inside of myself over and over and over? That Shabbos. That Shabbos. When Shabbos comes along, then at the end of the day, I am able to go ahead and remind myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ongoing creator, not just historical creator, but contemporary present day creator as well. And if he's the present day creator, then it fuels again Kiddushin Tiyu, my ability to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kiddusha in the activities of daily living, and I'm able ultimately again to share that reality with all those around me as well. So let's bring this all back together. So remember again, why am I taking you to Parashas Kiddushin, to the words of Lubavitcher Rebbe? Because what is it that we're trying to accomplish? Let's take a step back. We're in Parak Shiro, not in Parashas Kedoshim. So we're focusing, let's go back to number one. We're focusing on the rivers, on the rivers. And remember again, what are the rivers telling us? The rivers are Naharos Omrim, the rivers say, Naharos Imchaochaf. The rivers are rejoicing. Why are the rivers rejoicing? So remember again, going back to last week's Shir, excuse me, we saw a variety of different approaches. What we're trying to focus on is, nature rejoices when we rejoice. Or nature is besimcha when we are besimcha. So we're trying to figure out over here, what allows us to find simcha in life? What gives me, what gives human beings, what gives people, what gives each of us as individuals a sense of simcha? What gives us real joy in life? Because if we figure out what gives us real joy, then not only do we find simcha for ourselves, but nature finds simcha along with us. So where does joy come from? So if you bring this all together, it turns... So again, what Lubavitcher Rebbe would say is, where does simcha come from? Simcha comes from Kiddushin Tiyu. When you are living a life of Kiddushin Tiyu, that's where real joy comes from. What does it mean, according to the Rebbe, to live a life of Kiddushin Tiyu? So it's pretty much like a three-pronged process. Part one is find holiness in your activities of daily living. Find holiness in your activities of daily living. Right? Find godliness in your activities. Don't just find God in like the big stuff. Don't just find God in Yom Kippur. Don't just find God in the Rosh Hashanah moments of life, in the shofar moments of life. But find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in eating, in drinking, in taking a walk, in opening your eyes, in knowing, feeling your heart beat. Find God in the everyday things of life. When you find God in the everyday things of life, though, don't just keep that awareness for yourself. Ish imo va'aviv tiro. Share that with others. Ve'shabsosai tishmoru. And recognize, how do you find ultimately again God in your everyday life? By recognizing that God is not simply the historical creator, but living a life of Shabbos. Shabbos reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the contemporary present creator as well. So make sure again to live, don't just celebrate Shabbos once a week, but you have to live Shabbos every single day. Because every single day I must remind myself that HaMechadish B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ongoing, contemporary creator as well. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ongoing creator, I can see godliness in activities of daily life. I could find a Kodesh Baruch Hu in everyday life. I could infuse holiness into the activities of daily life, and then I could share that with others. According to the Rebbe, that's where Simcha comes from. When you find a Kodesh Baruch Hu in everyday life, let me say it a little bit differently. When you infuse God into everyday life, when you find the dimensions of spirituality in the things that you do, that your Gentile neighbor does also. Not only, it's easy to find God in the things that are uniquely Judaic. Of course I find God in mitzvahs, because God commanded me mitzvahs. Of course I find God in halacha, because God commanded me halacha. The question is, can you find God even in the activities of daily life that non-Jews do also? Can I find God in those basic human behaviors that all of humanity has? That's where Kiddusha comes in. And the Rebbe says, if you could find that and then share that with others, that's where happiness comes in. So if we bring this all together, it turns out, so again, the Naras are telling us the rivers are clapping. And the rivers are clapping. When do the rivers clap? The rivers say to us, if you're happy, you men are happy, then we're happy. So our job is to find simcha in life. Because if we find simcha in life, then not only do we go ahead and what? Find our own happiness, but we allow nature to be happy as well. So how do we find happiness, simcha in life? The $1 million question. So we've established now three different approaches. Rabbi Nachman says, look inside yourself, find something good, know that your life is meaningful and purposeful. The knowledge that my life is meaningful and purposeful, the knowledge that my existence makes a difference, that provides me with simcha. So it's number one, Rabbi Nachman, simcha comes from the knowledge that your life is meaningful, purposeful, that you are relevant, and that your existence makes a difference. Approach number two, which was the approach of Sarah Rosenblatt. Simcha comes from where? Just seeing the beauty in everyday life. Just seeing the beauty in everyday life. And again, each of us relates to this a little bit differently. You know, somebody sent me a video yesterday. It was actually beautiful, of children who developed hearing challenges or hearing impairments, and they were fitted with hearing aids for the first time, and they heard for the first time. And the laughing and the smiles that came when they heard their mother's voice for the first time, they heard their sibling's voice for the first time, it was incredible, incredible. So how many of us, when we hear something, or when we see something, or when we feel something, how many of us actually feel simcha with that? So the truth is, most of us not, because we tend to take things for granted that we're used to. So Mrs. Rosenblatt says in her poem, Thanks for This Day, where does simcha come from? Simcha comes from simply appreciating the little things in everyday life. The breeze, the sunshine, the hearing, the seeing, that your heart works, that your feet works, that you have food in your refrigerator. The little things, that's where simcha comes from. And finally, number three, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Where does simcha come from? Simcha comes from Kedoshim Tihiyu. Simcha comes from creating or from cultivating a sense of godliness in the activities of day-to-day life. Seeing God, more than seeing God, infusing spirituality and holiness into the activities of daily living. The activities that are not uniquely Jewish. The activities that are just human in nature. But the ability to infuse a dimension of holiness into the activities of daily life, that's where simcha comes from. And then being able to take those realizations and share them with others, ultimately all of this by recognizing God not as the historical creator, but as the contemporary present creator, that's where simcha comes from life. That's where simcha comes from life. That's how you're able to establish simcha in life. So three different approaches. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Sarah Rosenblatt, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the truth is, of course, they're all correct. And I think it's just that we relate to these different approaches at different times in life. Sometimes when we're a bit more introspective and perhaps a bit more aware, we could take Sarah Rosenblatt's approach. Sometimes when perhaps, again, we're a little bit down on ourselves, that's perhaps when we need a little bit more Rabbi Nachman's approach. And sometimes, again, when we're just a little bit more spiritually attuned, that's where we have the Lubavitcher Rebbe's approach. They're all correct, and each of them offers a different avenue in being able to find our simcha. But again, closing it out, the Naros, the rivers, teach us that when we find our simcha in life, not only do we go ahead and benefit ourselves by enhancing our personal lives, but we also are able to go ahead and cause the rest of nature to rejoice with us. The world was created for us. And as such, our disposition in any given moment ultimately highlights how the rest of nature is going to react as well. So the rivers tell us something amazing. The rivers tell us nature wants to be besimcha, but nature could only be besimcha if we find the courage to find our simcha in life as well. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Chicago, it's a pleasure to once again resume with all of you. And the Mirat Hashem, we will continue in Perek Shira on Wednesday. Wishing everyone a wonderful day. Of course.